Do I hold any resentment towards my mom for leaving me behind? Yes, because I always think if I was brought to the US as a child, how different life would be, how many less scars I would have, or if any at all.
I'm Leon Guidry, and this is the Brother Be Well podcast, sponsored by Blue Shield of California's Blue Sky Initiative. Today, we're addressing trauma and healing with an emphasis on boys and men of color. It's about to get real with our host, experts, and guests. Gather around, y'all.
Hi, welcome to Brother Be Well. My name is Michael P. Coleman. I'm director of content for the program, and I'd like to introduce you to an amazing young man. To call him a survivor is a bit of an understatement. Patrick Ma is with us. He's an advisor to Brother Be Well. At 17, as I recall, your mother, who had escaped your father and escaped and left Vietnam to come to the United States, at 17, she sent for you, and you came to the United States to live initially with your mother. My next question is a two-parter. First of all, did you hold, and I think it speaks to your character, you say you don't blame your relatives in Vietnam for not really adequately taking care of you. I think that speaks to your character. I'm wondering, did you hold any resentment towards your mother? At she was clearly fearful of your father. She escaped to get out of there, but she left her six-month-old child there. Did you hold any resentment to your mom? And then talk about living with your mom. I understand she scorned you. She wouldn't cook for you. There were a lot of other microaggressions there. Talk about that period and tell our Brother Be Well audience why you were 17 at that point. So you certainly weren't an adult, but you were getting close. Why did you put up with that, having finally made it out of that environment that clearly wasn't feeding you, for lack of a better word, in Vietnam?
Yeah, I think I have to give the audience a context. So my mom actually came back to the US in 2015. And, you know, originally I thought it was from her own goodwill, but it actually wasn't. It was my aunt who lived here in the US who found my mom, informed her that she has a long lost son who's still alive and well in Vietnam, and asked her to, you know, come and rescue me because she was aware of the situation I was in Vietnam. Do I hold any resentment towards my mom for leaving me behind? Yes, that's a short answer, because I always think, you know, if I was brought to the US as a child, how different life would be, you know, how many less scars I would have, or if any at all, and whether my childhood would be different than the picture of getting beaten every day by a drunken, abusive father. Mm-hmm. So there's part of me who always resent her for that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for the audience at home, going to the US is not an easy feat back in the day. It's not a migration process where it was legal. A lot of time there's illegal immigrants that arrive to the United States. You may have heard of them as boat people, and they literally arrive to the U.S. through the sea on a very small fishing boat, if that. So many of them die in the process and did not make it here to the United States. So I think my mom was giving me that as an excuse as of why she didn't bring me with her, because she was afraid I would not make it. I understand that, but by the same token, you know, I can't help but wonder how my life would be different, because I have many relatives here who arrived when it was very little. They had a very good education. They have a wonderful childhood and supported parents, and many of them go on to become successful members of the society at an early age. So I always wonder about that. As far as living with my mom, it was a very brief affair, if you can call it that. It took 2 years for the paperwork to go through, where my mom was putting through the process to bring me here to the United States. by the time that everything was completed, I was 17. So arrived in the United States as a senior in high school in Vietnam. The feeling is ecstatic. That's the word that comes to mind. I felt like $1 million, you know, and giving the audience back home a little bit of background. If you come from a third world country like China, Taiwan, Vietnam, to be able to go to the United States is a big deal, because you get here, there are so many opportunities to live out an American dream where work hard, hard work and perseverance can really bring about success that would not be the same scenario if I was in Vietnam. I would still work hard and would still persevere, but the opportunities there are different because of the cultural structure, because of the economical structure, and because of the way that the country works. And I'll spare you the details on that, but it's very political. And, you know, coming to the United States, when I got that ticket in my hand, I just could not believe what I was seeing. Wow. You know, walking on that plane, I felt like a new man. I won the lottery. This is it. And even more exciting than the idea of going to the United States and having all this wealth that everybody who come back to Vietnam would boast about is the idea of having a parent who will take care of you because they want to and not because they has to. The sentiment is resonate and remind me of my grandma, and that was why it was so exciting to be reunited with my mom. I arrived to the United States in 2007 at the age of 17. I did not speak the lick of English. The only thing I can say, hi, my name is Patrick, and you know, just so excited to start my new life here. My mom is relatively wealthy, not because she was born wealthy or that, you know, she married rich. She actually is a very hardworking woman, and she made a life here for herself. She's a nail technician and she owns several nail salons. I think she's down to one or two now, but she's very wealthy. And, you know, I got a glimpse of what my life would be if I was living with her. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite excited to start my life with her. But you know, it's a very short-lived affair, and she did not give me the nurturing environment that I yearned so many years for and cry for so many nights, wishing I could have. And you know, being jealous, looking at my friends and even in my own family, my cousin, and looking how their parents treat them, I wish someone would treat me that way or look at me lovingly the way that their parents look at, you know, my cousin. And it was quite a disappointment.
And I appreciate you again, sir, being so transparent in talking about that disappointment. Another layer got added to that, as I understand. Somewhere along those 17 years, you realized that you were gay, and your mother and perhaps other family, I don't quite recall, but I know you wrote about your mother not taking that very well. So yet again, there was a barrier being placed between you and success. Talk about your mom not really embracing your being a young gay man.
Yeah, Michael, thank you for asking that. I intentionally left that piece out because I do want to address that question, but more clearly to the audience at home. That was one of the reasons why my stay with my mom was a short affair. I always knew that I was gay. You know, as a child, I was quite flamboyant. Not that any LGBTQ plus kid at home watching, you know, if you're not flamboyant, doesn't mean that, you know, you don't fit the mold, or, you know, you somehow, you know, like not gay or bi or lesbian or transgender. It's just how I was. And I recall I was quite flamboyant as a little boy. I would play with my cousin. I have a female cousin in Vietnam, and we would play dress up, and I would pretend to be a princess, and you know, all the things that, you know, I think every kid would trial and error, who figure out who they are. And, you know, when I was about, I think right around like 11, 12 or so, that's when I realized that there is this strange attraction to male counterparts, my classmates or, you know, older, like, you know, teachers. I would have these crushes on these men or boys, and not attracted at all to my female high school, you know, high school, middle school friends. And I always thought that it's different, but I didn't know that it is not accepted. I just thought that was just part of me, and I assumed that it's okay. I think when I arrived to the United States, it's really opened my eyes as what it is truly to be a LGBTQ plus person. The reason why is it's much more accepted here. It's more talked about here. And you can walk down the street and see two men or two women or whatever gender identity or sexual orientation they identify with, two people loving each other, holding hands. That is not considering a norm, which is a male and a female. And, you know, my mom happened to find out through my cousin that I was actually talking to a gentleman in Vietnam who's just a little bit older than me. And we were exchanging very intimate and loving messages with loving languages and calling each other like honey and whatnot. And my mom just could not wrap her head around that idea, that concept that I could possibly be gay. In our language, the word gay roughly translates to bede, or, you know, a more advanced way, a more polite way to say it these days, or more politically correct, is yêu tính thứ ba, which means the third gender. It's a rough way to translate, but Vietnam has come a long way as far as sexual orientations and acceptance to the LGBTQ plus community. But my mom just could not wrap her head around me being gay. And, you know, she was remarried at that time to a gentleman from Northern Vietnam who's happened to be a Catholic. And she converted to Catholicism. And, you know, if you're a strict Catholic, you condemn homosexuality and think it's a sin. And because I had to put myself in my mom's position, so will she choose a son who she has never seen or lived with, you know, except for the 9 months that she was carrying me and in the first 6 months of my life, or her brand new husband and a baby on the way? And as much as I blame her, she chose what was best for her at the time, which is her new family. And she asked me to leave. So it just make it very difficult for me to live with her. And there was some incident too, which I will spare the audience, but it was just so brutal and so heartbreaking that I decided that I would not thrive in this environment. So when she asked me to leave, I left.
Well, you said you'll spare the audience, Patrick. Are you sure you want to do that? Because that's a heck of a cliffhanger. Give us a sense, least. I mean,
if you want to share, I'll share.
Come on now, yeah. Don't just leave us hanging. How did she make it so difficult for you to be there?
Beside the trivial things, like, you know, when I first came to the U.S., having an alarm in the household is like unheard of in Vietnam. Nobody has alarm, so. You know, it was a snowing winter day, and I think in the morning there was like fresh powder. My mom was living in Pennsylvania at that time, and I've never seen snow before because I came from a tropical country. So the first thing I did was opening the door wide open and go see the snow because I was so excited.
Sure.
About 10, like 5 minutes, the alarm just went off. It's just like, you know, wow, 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 and there that came rushing, my mom rushing down with my father, my stepfather, and they were just blasting my ears out, like, what were you thinking? Like, you know, you want to get the police here and the firemen and blah, blah, blah. And that was my first experience, first day in the United States. That was my first experience with my mom. So that was was quite tough. And what was happening next was, you know, when my mom found out about my sexuality, was that she started having these accusations. I think one of the most hurtful things she has ever said or done to me was that she accused me of inappropriately touching my uncle, who is her brother. And it never happened. And I respect my uncle and I think of him as a father figure. But here was my mom accusing me of inappropriately touching him. I don't know how to describe that other than feeling a deep sense of disappointment and betrayal and pain. I have never experienced that much pain, even though my father continuously beat me for almost 13 years of my life. Mm-hmm. What my mother did way surpassed what my dad did, and it left a scar that never healed. To this day, I still remember my mom coming home and asked me, did you inappropriately touching your uncle? And of course, I called my uncle right away and was just thinking, what the bleep were you talking about with my mom? And like, why is she's accusing me of this? Mm. And he said, I've never said anything. Later on, I just realized that my mom was trying to, you know, somehow corner me and see if I will come out to her. And I would call them the last straw on a camel's back, where I just decided that enough is enough.
Well, Patrick, I have never been happier to turn a page in a story because we're past the worst of the worst of your story. So we get to talk about a little bit chapters in your life that were, I started to say, a little more optimistic, quite a bit more optimistic. You wound up leaving your mother's house. You moved in with your aunt in California, and you flourished in school, from what I understand. You had a particular teacher that played a really solid role in your life. Talk about that teacher for the Brother Be Well audience.
She is a special, special lady. Like I mentioned earlier, I always have really good luck with older lady. I think it's my puppy eyes where, you know, the older lady just take pity on me. And once they hear the heartbreaking story that, you know, that is my life, they women have these nurturing instinct as mothers, whether they have children or not. They just born with those natural mother instinct, and they want to nurture a wounded soul. And that's what Mrs. Mayer did. So I call her mom now, but I used to call her Mrs. Mayer for many, many years. She was my first ESL teacher when I arrived here in California. I was living with my mom in Pennsylvania for about 2 years, and then I left abruptly right after because of everything that went through, that went down. And when I met Mrs. Mayer, I thought to myself, this woman is so fake. There is nobody this nice in this world. And she's just a saint. I mean, we have very troubling students, as any high school would. And Cordova High was the school where we met, the high school where we met. It's in a rough neighborhood, I have to say. So there is a mixture of students where some of them are more problematic than others. And Mrs. Mayer treat everybody with kindness. And she always gave them the benefit of the doubts, even though what they do is just blatantly wrong and disrespectful to her and to other students. You know, this woman she took me under her wing. She's, you know, later on when we become closer, I asked her, why did you decide to nurture me? And she said, you know, she just saw something special in me. And she realized that, you know, this kid has potential and He just need a little bit of help. He just need a tiny little bit of wind under his wings, and he will soar. Wow. And so I did. So, you know, with a lot of help along the way, of course. But over the years, she went from an ESL teacher to a very close confidant, and later on become my mom. I cannot recall the moment when I start calling her mom, but she just took me under her wing and let her entire family treat me as one of their own. We recently lost my dad, John Seal Mayer. He is a wonderful, wonderful human being, but he's unfortunately no longer with us. But he was also a instrumental part of my life as well.
Wow. You read my mind. I was going to ask you before we wrap up today, I was hoping and praying that you were still in touch with her, because the way you talk about her and the way you wrote about her, it was just so moving to me. So it's great to hear you're still in touch with her. Talking about a little bit, I want you to touch on your Prince story talked about escalating tensions with your aunt. I mean, that seems to be a pattern. You know, you had a mother who, you know, these microaggressions to kind of get you to move out, living with your aunt, there were some escalating tension. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So right after I moved out of my mom's place, I moved from Pennsylvania to California to live with my aunt. And I have two aunts here. One live in LA and one live in Sacramento. And, you know, the one live in LA has two little girls. So originally, when I was trying to assess the situation and see where I want to live, which environment would be beneficial to me, I decided that the one who lived in LA just not a good fit, because she has two little girls and I would feel uncomfortable living there, even though I already identify myself at that point as a gay man. Mm-hmm. Now the one that lives in Sacramento, she has two boys, and one of them is a bit closer to my age, and we actually have quite a close relationship. I think of him as a brother, and he lives with my aunt in Sacramento. So I decide Sacramento it is. It was the first year was quite nice and uneventful. I go to school. I went to school. I come home. I do my homework and, you know, hang out with the family. It was quite nice. But I think as times go on, there was a lot of financial conflict, because I started to work at McDonald's. My first job, I work at McDonald's, because as a 17 years old boy who didn't speak English, who just arrived to the US, that's the only job I could get. So I work at McDonald's and I was bringing home a little bit of money. And I think the escalating tension was that, you know, my aunt thought that I did not contribute to the household, even though I was giving her a little bit of my money. She thought I wasn't doing enough chores and wasn't helping out enough the family enough, even though, you know, I was going to school full time as a high schooler, and they did not count for any of my credit from Vietnam. So I basically completed the 4 years high school program here in the US in 2 years.
Wow.
So, you know, it's quite an escalated, accelerated program. On top of that, I was working 20, 30 hours a week at McDonald's. Wow. At the age of, you know, 17, 18. And by the time I get home, I smell like French fries and I'm exhausted. And right. I still have homework to do. And, you know, for her to expect me to help out and do all these things, not just regular like household chore, like vacuum, she would expect me to like take her to appointments or, you know, like run errands for her. And I just cannot. Because I have a full plate as it is. So, you know, at one point where we were having discussion, it got very heated. And she said, well, you know, if you don't want to live here, you can leave. And I left, you know, because I was under a lot of stress already. And, you know, I didn't need any additional discomfort coming from her.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to the Brother Be Well podcast. There are lots of people that look like us stepping up to take the journey to wellness. Stay connected by joining peer support groups and happenings in the Brother Be Well community this month. Watch for text alerts and hook up with us for the next episode of Brother Be Well. I'm Leon Guidry, and we're out.